Well, good morning, everyone. There's a story of a little boy who was in Sunday school where he heard the story of creation, how God removed a rib from Adam and made woman who became his wife. After church, this young family was at lunch, and a little later, the boy was doubling over in pain, and the mother asked the little guy, "Well, what hurts?" He says, "My side hurts, Mommy. I think I'm having a wife." Whereas the story of creation is unique, a unique event, I don't think we'll see that one again. But as we look through Scripture, we do see God moving and doing extraordinary things. Things that seem unreal or unattainable, beyond belief in the natural. And we certainly see that in our gospel reading today. We pick up our gospel reading with Mary and Joseph going through the Hebrew custom of betrothal. It is a process that takes about a year before a couple actually come together or lives together. This was in part to show fidelity to one another during that time. In essence, it is like being married but still living with your parents. It is a waiting period. And to break a betrothal actually takes an act of divorce. So Mary and Joseph are going through a normal first stage of marriage. Nothing is unusual. The plans of marriage are moving along. Then something extraordinary begins to unfold. The circumstances surrounding this news will be life-changing. Mary is told in a visit by Gabriel that she is going to have a child. But not just any child. This child is of the Most High, the Son of God. Now imagine the pressure this can put on a person. Imagine trying to tell your friends and others who will obviously begin to notice and telling them what's transpired. We have no biblical reference of these conversations, but it would be difficult to convince anyone in the natural something that would be this supernatural. Put yourself in her place in trying to explain it to your parents. "Mom, Dad, today I was visited by an angel and he told me that I'm going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It's just going to happen." The movie The Nativity Story depicts this drama very well in trying to show just how parents might react to that. That would be hard for any parent in any generation to swallow in the natural. Now go one step further. You have to tell your betrothed. She tells Joseph. Now let's say you're Joseph, and how would you handle this situation? We know a few things about Joseph. We know that he was a just man. He was a man of integrity. He was an honest man. It had to be hard for him as well to hear this from the one he is betrothed to. How about you guys? How would you react to the news that Mary had? But Joseph, being who he was willing to grant a quiet divorce to Mary. He didn't want to embarrass her or to make a spectacle out of her in the community. "Now let's go our separate ways and it'll be fine." But then Joseph had an extraordinary experience. He too was visited by an angel in a dream. "Joseph, don't fear. This is of the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit doing this." This was confirmation to both Joseph and to Mary. Now they have this unique and special calling on their lives. This will indeed change their lives and change the world as well. They will be responsible for bringing into the world the Son of the living God. The implications are enormous. So much has been foretold of this very moment throughout history. And now Joseph and Mary have this awesome responsibility to help make it happen. But here is the interesting part of this event and the point that I want to make today. God uses ordinary people who are willing to be obedient to do extraordinary things. Let's look at our epistle reading that we read today. Because in these opening remarks by Paul in his letter to the Romans, we get another glimpse of what I'm talking about today. Like I mentioned last week, we sometimes gloss over certain parts of Scripture, especially introductions. Yeah, I, Paul, a servant, blah, 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 blah. Let's get on to it. Don't blah, blah the Word of God. There is important information here. First, we see that Paul is an apostle of Jesus. He is an apostle because of a unique experience, an extraordinary experience that he had. I don't need to go over Paul's life again. We've covered that over the year. But remember how God called him on that road with a blinding light. Remember his background as a Pharisee among Pharisees. His education, his persecution of Christians before he was on that road. And his life-changing encounter with Jesus himself. Through that transformation, he was called as an apostle by Christ to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Next, Paul also calls himself a servant. In the Greek, literally a slave to Christ. You see, Paul is totally sold out to Jesus. You see, Jesus became his first priority in life, and everything else was secondary, even his calling as an apostle. So here is this introduction. Paul has recognized the awesome power of God through history and the revealing of Christ through the prophets. He reveals the power of the Holy Spirit that was on Jesus and establishes his own call to ministry by Christ himself. Paul's making it very clear in the beginning of this letter to the Roman church that his authority is not his own. It belongs to Christ. His dedication is not what he does, but it's to Christ, who has given him the strength and the power to do what he does through the Holy Spirit. And that call is to go and make disciples. So we have from these two accounts how God takes these people out of the pages of history, places an anointing on them, a call in their lives, and through their willingness become extraordinary results. And that is how we has been working through the pages of history. Prophets willing to be used by God to bring this message to the leaders and to the people. Ordinary people like Abraham, who was called to begin a nation. Moses, who was called to free a nation. Nehemiah, who was called to rebuild a city. All who were willing to listen and move out of faith in God when he said move. Jesus chose ordinary men and women to be his, or men to be his disciples. He calls us all, though, to be his disciples. They learned from him and became anointed to do the work that he did. Case after case through Scripture, God has used and unfolded his plan for the human race through ordinary people. But you see, I think ordinary is what every one of us was born with. We are simply people looking for purpose, looking for some sort of fulfillment in life. But I also believe each person was created to become extraordinary. We were created to have a fellowship with the one true living God. We were created for a purpose. And that purpose is to do the will of the Father. Listen again to what Paul says, what some might just be a blah, blah greeting. And you also, and who's you? Us. Also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. It's an open invitation to those in Rome, in Asia, and anyone who is willing to accept it. When you say yes to Jesus, you have available to you the capability to do extraordinary things. Listen closely to the Great Commission. These are words spoken by Jesus just before he ascended into heaven. These were words that drove Paul. And Jesus came and said to them, his disciples who are around him and those who are gathered. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We tend to hear the go and make disciples part, which is important. We need to hear that. But we need to listen to all of it. All authority in heaven and on earth is his, and he is passing it on. He is giving his authority to do his will through people who are willing to step out, through people willing to listen to him, through people who submit to his authority, through people who seek after him and learn from him. And Jesus gave this wonderful promise. He will be with us to the end of the age. That means until he returns. Jesus promised to be with us through his Spirit, and he means what he says. In your walk with Christ, you have the very presence of God with you. Think about how frightening it might have been for Mary and Joseph and what they did to face the rumors, to face persecution, possibly be exiled, face disownment of family. But once they had the vision, once they had that mandate, they knew that God was more powerful than anything that other people could throw their way. They knew God was walking them through this. This was his plan, his son. And likewise, we can make up all kinds of excuses why we hold back from moving out in the Lord when he calls us. We can make up all kinds of excuses to be silent in our faith. People might make fun of me. I don't have enough knowledge. I'm just little old me. You name it, and we can come up with it. But the Lord calls each of us to something. He needs your hands. He needs your feet. He needs your mouth. He needs your creativity. Through the Holy Spirit, we become extraordinary people created for extraordinary purposes. Ordinary is what the human race makes of itself. Extraordinary is what God turns us into. All of us are gifted in certain ways. Some are musically gifted. Some are gifted to write. Some are gifted analytically, like in the sciences. Some are gifted creatively, like in the arts. But if we allow God to work in and through us, he can unleash those gifts to his glory. He also gives us spiritual gifts to do his work. Paul was a gifted man. He used his gifts in many selfish ways prior to coming to Christ. But once he met Christ, once he turned his life over to the working of the Holy Spirit, God used him in ways he never dreamed of. He took Paul into places no other person can go in his day because of who he was. And the gospel was open to people who would otherwise not have known about it. It would take a considerably longer time. But God had a plan. And Paul was a part of that plan. He made himself available, and the world was changed because of it. God also has a plan for each of us. We need to be open to it and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. You see, when we recognize the potential we have and the real source of all that we are, we are free ourselves to be open to all, in all sorts of ways. So as we close this last Sunday in Advent, as we anxiously await for the return of the Lord, don't just sit by idly. Become extraordinary. That doesn't mean you become haughty. It doesn't mean that you snub everyone else. What it means is that you become available to simply open yourself up to all that God has for you each day that you wake up, to be used by him. to watch the world change around you. God has a wonderful plan for each person who calls out his name. Allow that plan to be revealed in you. Seek after him with all of your heart and see what he will do through you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you want us to be extraordinary in you. You've called each of us for a special purpose. We are not here by accident. We're not here just to be ordinary. We're here to fulfill your will in the world around us. So, Father, I ask that you would move mightily in the heart of each person here. Lord, that you would reveal to them your will in their lives and the plan that you have for them, even tomorrow, wherever they are, wherever we are. Lord, may you move so that others might be touched by you. And we thank you, Father, and we give it all to you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.